I got one question for whoever is in charge. How in the world did I not die riding a bicycle through Gary, Indiana? Answer that. Wow. Have you ever just caught yourself saying, what in the hell was I thinking? What was my priority? What was the end goal? What were you looking for in your life when you did that? I'm driving across Indiana right now. We got an early 6 a.m. start this morning. I am delivering something to the train station, as they would say, on the Dutton Ranch. This train station's at a Ukrainian village in Chicago, so this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm delivering a Hobie inflatable, and man, you can pack that thing just like you're taking a trip to the Bahamas. Little carry-on bag. I got it in the, didn't even have to shove it. Just laid it gently into the trunk of the Hyundai Sonata Hybrid Blue 2021 that I'm driving right now. I love this car. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to drive it. I would say it is the poor man's Tesla. You know, under $30,000 for this car. Right now, I am getting, let's check the, let's go to my homepage on my touch-sensitive dashboard here. Right now, I'm averaging about 52.3 miles per gallon headed to Indiana. Across Indiana, headed to Chicago. Full tank of gas will give you about 627 miles. And life is good, you know, at 50 miles per gallon right now. So I'll take it. Got it on cruise control. It's a really nice cruise control because it will adjust to the car in front of you. So it will never let you hit that car in front of you. That was always the problem with cruise control, because you would set it and then the guy in front of you would hit the brakes and you'd have to hit your brakes. The cruise control would turn off and then you would have to regain speed, reset it again. That's not an issue with the Sonata Hybrid Blue. I love this thing, man. It makes driving so easy. I have a driver assist mode on right now, which will relatively keep it in the white lines, between the white lines, or in the lane itself. It'll correct steer itself. It won't necessarily lock onto a GPS signal like a Tesla or some of the smarter vehicles that can do that. I don't even know, you know, the autonomous vehicles that are out there. It's not quite like that, but it makes driving very, very easy. Every once in a while, it'll come up with a little like a little caution, asking you if you need to take a break, and they'll show a little steaming cup of coffee there. And I love my coffee. John Graves Kayak Fishing, sponsored by American Tackle. Big shout out to everybody at American Tackle. I can't wait to see you guys down at ICAST, my family, my AT family. Wow, it's been a funky year, man. You know, funky couple years. First opportunity that I had to experience, to me, what was like the Willy Wonka chocolate factory of new items that are just getting ready to hit the stores. All the brand new fishing tackle, all of the brand new motors, all the brand new kayaks, you name it, all of the gadgets, all of the widgets. Man, it was amazing and huge, over 200,000 square feet. And then COVID hit everybody. They shut it down to just, well, did they cancel it? I mean, it's been such a weird year. It's been so weird. Then they had it again. None of the international markets can make it there. So it was just the national, which reduced the size. I was hyping it up, man, going down there with my buddy Zach Carell. We're traveling southbound. We are in this car. As a matter of fact, it cost me $57 in gas to get to Orlando. And Zach just sat in the passenger seat the whole way because it was so easy for me to drive nonstop for 14 hours. That's how easy it was. You know, when you're going down the road and your car starts to run out of gas or starts to get low on gas and you think, well, I got to pee anyway, right? Well, this car never did that. So you're going down the road and you're traveling for like a couple states and all of a sudden you're going, man, I got to go to the bathroom. And you look down and you got like an eighth of a tank, you know, less than what you had, you know, 100 miles back. Amazing ride. I love this thing. So if you have the opportunity, especially here in the local area, big shout out to my buddy John McFarlane at Columbia Hyundai, located at 275 and Montgomery Road. Stop by and see John McFarlane. Tell him John Graves Kayak Fishing sent you, and you are absolutely going to love this car. I'm telling you, I love it. I do this, I use this car for my Uber driving, and it's so quiet right now, and it's smooth, and everybody that sits in this back seat, most everybody comments on how nice this car is, and I absolutely agree. So I'm traveling across Indiana, and I'm just looking out at this flatness, you know, and you can see for quite a bit of a distance. I don't know what I had going on in my mind when I rode my bike across this state to Chicago. I did that twice, back and forth. However, I didn't even think twice about it. I just did it. And I wonder what was going on in my head. Probably in some of the best mental and physical condition I've ever been in. I've always loved extreme challenges, and ultramarathon sports always appealed to me. I was never really fast at the running game, but damn, I could go all day long. And I loved it. Back in the late 70s and going into the 80s and 90s, there wasn't many, especially in the 70s and 80s, there were very few ultra marathon events. I mean, at best, you would find something at a high school up in Dayton, like a 6-hour event where you just ran around a high school track, which I actually did. I won an event up there doing that one time. And by golly, this old man who I couldn't shake, he was probably my age then that I am now. Does that make sense? He was probably close to 60. And I couldn't shake this guy. And for miles, I think I did, I don't know, I did 40 something miles, I think 36 or something like that. And this old man stayed on my ass exactly like 300 yards behind me. And I couldn't shake him to save my life. If I stopped, he stopped. If I went, he went. And he stayed there the whole time. And about the 28, 30, 32 mile mark, I remember I started going into like a hallucination kind of thing, which is common. Some of them you really kind of get off on, you're tripping. I had I was in a 2-day 500 mile bike race up in Wisconsin, and I had a white unicorn chase me, an Arabian, looked a lot like Gwen back at the Rock and Star Ranch, and maybe she was a sign. And this horse chased me for miles on my bicycle. So you see things like that. Elvis Presley riding a giraffe across the state of Arizona. You know, you're out there in the middle of somewhere, Arizona, all of a sudden you look over and there's Elvis Presley on a giraffe. So you see those kind of things, and you know, it is, I just enjoy that type of sport because it gets me up early, some god-awful hour in the morning, and then you drive sometimes hundreds of miles to find yourself out in the middle of nowhere with about 20, 30, 40 other like minds that enjoy the same type of insanity that you do in that sport. The event starts, everybody disappears, you're usually by yourself. And then at the end of the event, you all meet up again, you have a box lunch. Did you hear it? Warn me. Keep your hands on the wheel. It looked at me, said, keep your hands on the wheel. But you find yourself after the event sharing your stories about how the event went for you. Does that sound familiar? Maybe that's why kayak bass fishing appeals to me, because it's the same thing in a way. But I really enjoyed that. Tremendous challenge, physical challenge and mental challenge to an individual test. And then I like competing with others. So ultramarathon sports always appeal to me. But as I drive right now across Indiana on Interstate 74, we're just shy of Indianapolis here, I'm overwhelmed really with thought of wow. My friends just, I guess, let Johnny do what Johnny do. None of my friends questioned me. None of my family looked at me and go, like, are you out of your mind? Why don't you take a bus? They just, I don't know. Wow. That was amazing. I probably had less than 40, 50 bucks in my pocket. Wow. Well, as we get closer and closer to Chicago, maybe I'll tell you a little bit more of why I went up there. And there was a reason, not like I just said, hey, I want to go to Chicago on my bicycle. There was a reason why I went up there. And it is a fun story. I should be appreciative that I'm still living. And boy, was I a greenhorn on the south side of Chicago. Let's talk about our sponsors. I'll be right back after that. You know, I don't think you should ever consider yourself too old to wear a flat brim hat. I mean, I'm wearing mine right now. I'm pimping it out. I'm on my way to Chicago. I am going to be looking good in the South Side. Here I am. Watch out, Cabrini Green. I got my American Tackle flat brim out. You know, American Tackle's got a lot of great swag right now. I also have my American Tackle hoodie. This thing is an amazing hoodie. It's comfortable. The t-shirts, I've even got American Tackle t-shirt on. I am like swagged out and everything's comfortable. That's why I have it on. I would not be driving across the state of Indiana to Chicago to deliver a Hobie inflatable that's in my trunk right now in anything else. If I could wear my pajamas right now, I would. But what do I got on? I have some very comfortable swag and quite dripping, as they say. I'm looking good. So I'm on my way up to Chicago. I'm going to hang out with my daughter. We're going to have some lunch, and I'm going to deliver the inflatable to a Ukrainian village. But folks, on my way there, on your way there, wherever you're going, when you're sitting down hanging out, check out American Tackle, anglerproducts.com. They just not only have swag, but you know, American Tackle was like the man when it comes to rod building. Well, if you're a rod builder, you already know about American Tackle and the award-winning microwave guides and the reel seats and the blanks that is used. I mean, literally everything that you need to make a rod, they have it. All shapes, all sizes. They now have a lot of great selection of terminal tackle. The Bushido shallow crankbaits are some of my favorite. The Aurora Fire Tiger is lighting up the muddy waters of southwestern Ohio right now. Check them out. Shallow crankbaits, the Bushido fishing lines that they have, the braids, the fluorocarbons, all of them are I love it. I'm I am blessed to be sponsored by this company. Check them out, American Tackle, anglerproducts.com, and tell them John Graves Kayak Fishing sent you. Still, for the life of me, I'm still driving miles and miles thinking, how did I not die? Oh. Well, the first night in the boxcar, actually, I slept pretty good. It wasn't until the gunfire, which I thought sounded like gunfire. It was just the wood slats in this boxcar just heating up with the morning sunrise. Again, it's not like you're in a big valley hidden by the sunrise. You are not tucked down into mountains. You don't have barriers of big trees or anything. It's just flat cornland. And this boxcar set on a just abandoned rail line. I recall the cold steel rail lines reflecting by the light of the moon. I recall that and how it just shimmered down the line as the moon passed along with it. Just kind of it was something neat. And who knows, it could have been another hallucination. I could have been sleeping on the side of the road on a park bench and thought I was in a boxcar. I mean, that's how crazy those hallucinations could get sometimes. But no, I was in check. I was in good shape. Everything was great. Got up, made my way really quick, hit the road. That evening, when it came time to just catch some sleep, and really, at most, all I needed was just like 2 hours of sleep. If the sleep was good, I would go for 4, maybe 5 hours at best. But if I had 2 hours of sleep, I could just tuck down anywhere, catnap like Rip Van Winkle, and recover, and then boom, get ready to, you know, go put another few miles. I mean, that was like my kayak bass fishing then. Think about that. That's what I got off on. I don't know why. Sitting here just shaking my head at that, but that is what I got off on. I got off on riding that bike as far as I possibly could. Man. We're traveling past all of those big old air generators. That's not what you're hearing. That's the highway noise coming in and out there, but there's a lot of them. I bet there's 500 of those big air turbine generators. They just stretch out as far as you can see, north and south. And wow, they are all spinning right now. It is windy and I can feel it. There's a couple of them look like they're missing a blade and not moving. But, you know, there's nothing really attractive about those. You know, I don't know what I feel about that. Is the return worth that? Because there's certainly nothing that we can do with that land right there. They spread out. I mean, they're taking up thousands of acres. I don't know. Hope the return's good. I'm into the movement, of course, the green movement, as they call it. I'm driving a hybrid. I benefit from a electric vehicle of sorts. But I'm not giving up on that gas part either, so I'm glad this is a dual engine. Because it's going to take a long time to turn that one. You know, that flip that switch. So as I'm traveling down the road towards Chicago on my bicycle, as I'm reflecting back on some of the just things that I would subject myself to, nobody else was forcing me to do this. I wasn't running from the law. I was just moving forward. I was comfortable with living like that. Just going and rediscovering myself. And as I'm headed to Chicago for a particular purpose, in which we'll talk about here in a moment, came the second night that I had to pass out and catch a couple hours of sleep. Well, I was just deep into cornfield country, and that corn was high. It was middle of the summer. Corn was growing. And I thought to myself, well, just let me tuck myself into the corn, even though it had kind of a children of the corn feel to it, because I'm out there in the middle of nowhere and there's nobody around. No cars are passing. I bury myself into this cornfield and I lay down in my bedroll, my backpack, and my, I had a bivy sack, something that I could tuck my sleeping bag down into that was waterproof and that could cover up over my head and stuff. So literally like a little like a cocoon, I could lay down in the deep in this cornfield and nobody would see me. But as about 5:45 in the morning came, that became an issue that nobody could see me. I feel the ground chomping, like chomp, 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 chomp. And I feel this movement. So it was like a sound that I could just feel it. And I thought there were, my first thought was when my eyes opened up, I'm sure they were as big as huge as like half dollars. And I look up and I'm thinking it's possibly like a buck or a deer walking through there. Chomp, chomp, right? And I'm like, no, that's got too much of a rhythm to it. And it's a little loud. I can feel the ground shaking. So I set up and I see, I feel something. I don't necessarily see something, but I feel something happening and coming toward me. And I stand up and I mean, that corn was pretty high, so I had to, but it was time for the corn to come down. So you could see through it, basically. And I, up on my tippy toes, and I look, and here comes this big old combine, chomping at that corn, separating those ears from those stalks, just eating up like 4, 5, 6 rows at a time. And it was coming in on me. I grabbed my bike, my bag up so fast, and I ran out, pushed that thing, ran that thing up onto the road. Good Lord, it was dark. I mean, it was dark. That farmer was getting busy early. And that was a hell of an alarm clock. But I made it to Chicago. I remember pulling into an area of Chicago called Oak Brook, where I was headed. Now, my reason for riding the bicycle to Chicago was one that I enjoyed that kind of stuff, ultra marathon cycling and running, and multi-day cycling and packing and camping. And all I just that was my thing that I really enjoyed. Very, again, like kayak bass fishing is now. I was so crazy about it. For some reason, I couldn't get enough of it. And to be able to travel that far, whether you're running or you're cycling, really allows you to put some things into perspective of what you can do. Now, it's very hard for me to recall freshly how I felt, what was running through my mind, why I did it to a certain degree, how I could do it. Is probably the hardest thing for me to comprehend right now. How could I do that? Well, I had met, and I'll leave this part of the story, which is maybe a prequel to what I'm telling you now, but I went up to become a Charles in Charge. It's like that Scott Baio show where he was kind of Charles. And he was in charge of these kids. These kids were relatively wealthy. Well, these were Oak Brook blue blood kids, man. And their parents had money. I had met these people up there in Oak Brook, Illinois prior to that, and just got to know each other. And I returned back to Cincinnati, Ohio, and I had applied for a bike messenger job, which I thought would only take maybe like, you know, 3 months out of the summer. It'd be kind of fun to earn a little money as a bike messenger. Well, during that time waiting for that position to be open, because they only had a few bike messenger positions opened back in the late 80s. Waiting for that position, an offer came from the Shell family up in Chicago that if I could get up there, they had an opportunity for me to, you know, maybe make a little money, find some support in what I was doing, and basically just take care of the kids, do a few things for them so we can do other things in our life that we need to do. And I'm like, okay. So I was without a vehicle at that time. It's something that I just kind of did without. And that's a whole other story. But I just did without the vehicle. And I had been riding my bicycle everywhere. That was my main mode of transportation. And people knew me as Bicycle Johnny, basically. A whole other phase. Another chapter in my life. Well, I remember pulling in late at night, and there was this massive dog come running up the driveway, and like a bull mastiff is what that dog was. And you know, they probably don't like seeing bicycle riders come pulling up in their driveway with like headlamps on. You know, they're probably, what the hell is that? Oh my God, what was I thinking? That's about as professional as you can get right there. That's somebody you want to trust with your kids. Is that guy right there. The one that he rode his bicycle all the way here and showed up in the middle of the night with a headlamp on. Wearing bicycle shorts. Oh my Lord. As kayak anglers, I think we all go through some stages. The first stage that we go through, obviously, is the introduction stage. When we go out and we get that kayak for the first time, we really don't know in the full extent of what kayaks are out there. We want to hurry. We want to get ourselves into one, and we're excited to get out on the water. So we just, boom, we go out and we buy one, right? Well, we spend maybe 2 or 3 months in it, maybe that first season, and realize that, you know, it's not that comfortable. It's not as comfortable as I thought it would be. I think I need to find me a stand-up kayak. You know, maybe that was a sit-in kayak. Maybe you took a ride in a somebody else's kayak that had did a little research, had already been there, had done that, and had a really nice one. You get in that one, you're like, wow, now I can really compare something to that. So then we go through that let me go find another kayak that fits more my need stage. And that's that first big stage that we go to. So now we got either a buddy kayak, or we got one that we just sold on Craigslist for a couple hundred bucks. Because, you know, in reality, kayaks do kind of keep their value to a certain extent. It's really hard to do some severe damage to a, you know, a fishing kayak, so to speak, you know, unless you're just trashing it going down the river or something like that, or you drop it off of your pickup truck doing 90 mile an hour. But you have your other kayak, something that you thought about, you're a little bit more comfortable in it now. Here comes another stage, and that is tricking it out to fit how you like to fish. Okay, well, if you are like a do-it-yourself kind of guy, like Kurt Smits, who has one of the coolest ones. Check it out, Smitty Fisher. You can check it out. Just Google it, Smitty Fisher. He'll take you to some of the really cool do-it-yourself stuff. If you're one of those types, then you're probably doing some 3D printing kind of thing, or you're cutting some stuff out of some aluminum, you know, lightweight metals, you're drilling holes, you're doing all this stuff, you're sitting back scratching your head. Well, listen, before you do that, check out yakgadget.com, okay? Because long before you start thinking that it might be a really good tool or accessory to have, I can almost guarantee it that John Thomas and the creative crew down at Yak Gadget has already thought about it. So, save your time, save your money, all of that kind of stuff. They've already done it. So check it out, yakgadget.com. It is your kayak, individual. It's yours. It's not like anybody else's. It's like your spirit, your soul. It's your kayak. It's just for you. YakGadget.com. All of the cool accessories you need to trick out your kayak. Check it out. YakGadget.com. Welcome back to John Graves Kayak Fishing here on Anchor FM. I want to get a couple more things out before we close up this episode, because I know it has you at the edge of your seats. Buckeye Kayak Fishing Trail, that's coming up Saturday and Sunday. I love two-day tournaments. I can't say enough about two-day tournaments. I love them. It's like, you know, if you have kind of a bad day and, you know, you... Hey, I've seen people in the top 20 come back on a second day and get in the money. I've seen people hovering around that top 10 mark, 11, 12, 13th place, 14th place, and actually come back the second day and smash it to take home the cash. So I really like two-day tournaments. Not for that reason. Really for the selfish reason of the enjoyment I get of just simply waking up in the morning, pulling my kayak down the road, launching that thing into the water and just dropping over the edge, so to speak, when it comes to just disappearing into the darkness on an early morning launch to get out to a spot. I love that. I love seeing my friends out there. You know, even though we don't really talk a lot, we tend to catch up more with each other at the team meetings or at the gatherings, at the fishing trade shows, things like that. Some of us get together on the podcast and we really get to know each other. But for the most part, you know, when we're out there on the water, it's you may get an occasional high bye or, you know, good luck, tight lines, I'll catch you later, buddy, type of thing. But for the most part, people are pretty serious about the time. You know, not too much lollygagging is going on out there. I mean, you know, it's not like we have a 80-mile-an-hour skeeter that we're in control of. It's going to take us a little time to get to where we're going. So you tend not to really find a lot of people out there, you know, spending time talking to each other. It's really a solo type of sport. So I love it. And two-day tournaments are awesome. Again, it's just about getting more time on the water and being able to get out there and fish and see my friends you know, try my hand at, you know, one of those big checks, which is always a lot of fun. Who can deny that, you know, taking home a big check, like a big bass check or something. It only takes one fish to, win big bass, and it's gotta be the biggest one. And you'd be surprised sometimes how an 18-inch or a 19-inch fish can squeak by as being big bass. Kincaid Lake, but Acton Lake is one of these lakes that we get to fish in this weekend. I guess I should have presented that more on what the tournament is. So it's the Buckeye Kayak Fishing Trail Cincy Lakes Tournament. It's Saturday and Sunday. And before, you know, here Friday or so, you still have that opportunity to get online TourneyX
and to register for this thing. I think there's roughly 38 or so that are already registered. Well, let's go online and check it out, shall we? It's part of the Buckeye Kayak Fishing Tour Series. And of course, if you're a member of the Buckeye Kayak Fishing Trail and all of that kind of stuff, you are eligible for their Angler of the Year points and all of that stuff. So that's where all that all goes to. However, it's open up to anybody. You don't have to be a member of anything. A great group of people. We all kind of mingle within just a few degrees of each other. So, you know, I would say that the kayak bass fishing crowd, which is the only one that I can really speak of, I know really no other kind of fishing demographic, you might say. I don't know any saltwater fishing. I don't know any fly fishing. I don't know any cat fishing. I don't know any white striper fishing. I really don't know anything, to be honest with you. But I do kind of know a little bit about kayak bass fishing. Not much. You know, if you're starting out today, I might sound very brilliant to you. But if you've been around and you've been knocking the Hook Bassmasters Kayak Tournament Series, if you've been slamming in the Hobie Bass Open Series, if you've been very active in the kayak bass fishing, the KBF, what I talk about here on John Graves Kayak Fishing is probably pretty, like, duh, you know. And you could probably shoot a lot of holes through it as well, but hey, you know, I hope to reach the people that are just now starting. And I probably should emphasize that a little bit more, too. The theme of my podcast is really introducing it to folks that are just getting into it. I talk to a lot of people as an Uber and Lyft driver. Ton of people about this sport. And everybody is really interested in it. Whether or not they follow through. There has been a couple people, actually, that have fallen through. And I've seen them later. And they told me they went out and got a kayak. And they do this and that. I would kind of say that they didn't get the kayaks they probably need, in fact. But that's cool. That's a good transition. If you go out and you just get a kayak and you're really serious about fishing to the point where you would get into the Hobie Bass Open Series or the KBF Trail Series or just to sign up and go fish Acton and Cowan Lake this weekend with the Buckeye Kayak Fishing Trail, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're that serious to do that, you probably will work your way out of that $299 kayak, sit-in kayak that you picked up that you thought would be a really good one because it has two rod holders on the back of it. The seat kind of looks comfortable, you know? How uncomfortable can it be? You know, so we all graduate kind of through that, but it doesn't matter what you show up in. We don't care. I've never seen anybody... I mean, I just, you know, I have an ear for that kind of stuff, man, you know, because I guess I don't like it. But it's not, it's really non-existent in this sport that I know of, at least my friends and the folks that we fish with, the Cincinnati Kayak Fishing Group, the Buckeye Kayak Fishing Trail. I don't hear people sitting in the back dogging others. You know, they may save that stuff a little bit for the online, you know, tit for tat kind of stuff. You do come across brand loyalty that can be a little thick sometimes. But if you showed up in the most basic sit-in kayak and had one Zepco 404 with you to fish in our tournament or anybody's tournament, I'd say most likely you'd be applauded for having the cojones to do it, but certainly encouraged. This sport and the people within it really love to encourage others to just really be the best they can and have fun doing it, you know. So The Buckeye Kayak Fishing Tour Series, Cincinnati Lakes. You get the choice of two, Acton or Cowan. I don't know Acton very well. I have fished there once. It was one of the creepiest mornings I ever remember. I am always the first to show up. If I'm not, it's a surprise, okay? But I'm usually always the first one. I'm an old man. I wake up at 3. Sometimes I don't even go to sleep. There's been times when I've gone out and actually hit golf balls in the middle of the night. Early in the morning, I should say. Gosh, let's go for a run. It's 3 a.m. Why not? How about ride my bike until 2 to 4? You know, I can't sleep, so I'm kind of like that sometimes. So to get up, or with the excitement and adrenaline, you know, anticipation of knowing that there's a tournament coming up, I can't sleep sometimes for a couple days. So I'm certainly going to be up that morning of a tournament. So I'm always the first one there. Okay, so I put my Hobie Pro Angler 14 kayak in the water, and I waited for others to show up. And they slowly started showing up. And it was really neat to see this process of how everybody launched their kayaks. I was amazed. To the likes of Michael Grimsley and the outfit that he had. I remember Chris Anderson and the outfit that he had. I remember Bert Goodhouse Jr. and the outfit that he had. Even more impressive was his kayak once it was in the water. That son of a bitch looks like a battleship. It is amazing. But even more important, go on the fact that, you know, others sitting back and kind of dogging people as they show up with what they have or what they might not have. That was really the first time that I paid attention to Melissa Powder Keg. That was the first time that I saw her pull up in her car. She had a sit-in kayak on top of it. She pulled that sit-in kayak. First thing you notice, it's a sit-in kayak. I'm not sure if she's going to have fun in that. Wow, she's actually got to paddle that thing. And immediately you're like, wow, impressive. I couldn't do it. And then that really, you know, I mean, you want to pay attention to that person. And it wasn't long before we all went, wow, she's really good at fishing. She's really good. We probably should step her up in a kayak. See, I think that's a great example of the, you know, I mean, a lot of that goes to Strictly Sail and kayaks, one of the most giving, caring, I mean, it's hard to call them a business. It's more like just a family that everybody knows, and that they deal with is sailboats and kayaks. It's a Tacy family, you know. But wow, what a tremendous business. And if you're looking for a kayak and to be just kind of pushed into the, you're not pushed, but kind of guided into the right one that would be perfect for your setup and what you need, your budget, everything, start at Strictly Sail. It's a good place to start. It really is. No pressure. It is what it is. But believe me, they're moving kayaks out of there left and right because people all over the country are realizing, wow, Strictly Sail and kayaks is a pretty good, you know, place to get kayaks. They seem to be really, really good at their prices, their selection, their delivery, their customer service. So big shout out to Strictly Sail and Kayak. So, you know, and so it wasn't much longer that, you know, here's Melissa, the powder keg, in a quite functional Hobie Mirage Lynx and out there just crushing it, literally creating a whole, almost within a year, really creating a whole vibe around herself that has been created into Girl Gone Fishing, and people know it and they have seen it. She does an excellent job at it. So you take it where you want to take it. But it was a cool morning to be sitting there at Acton Lake and to see everybody launch and to see that and just kick back. I remember that the steam that was rising up off of the lake and the fog that seemed to be there was so freaking thick that even the kayaks that had the lights, I believe Michael Grimsley had a well-lit situation going on, they would disappear within just 12, 13, 14, 15 feet. It was eerie. I had no lights to speak of. I have enough. If you would look at my kayak, you'd see a red one, a green one, and a white 360. In fact, I'm kind of lame when it comes to the lights. I need to step up my game. A lot of these folks can really rig these things out internally. They got the whole inside of the gunnels all lit up. It looks just like a pimped out Uber vehicle. It's awesome. You know, they strobe if you want to. But without really any lights at all, it just seemed like I was going to drop off the face of the earth into the abyss. That the water just fell over. It was, woo! I was going a lot slower to my destination. And it was the first time I remember I just got the Lowrance 9 from Bert. And it was the first time that I actually had to guide my kayak by electronics. It's like when you're going through the pilot phase of flying solely with your instrument panel, and they black the curtains out. They black out the cockpit with curtains, and you're looking at your instrument panel, right? And it was like that, and it was freaking me out. It was amazing. I was just waiting to drill something. All of a sudden, just howled out, you know, in Acton Lake, there was going to be this big cargo ship all of a sudden show up. But I didn't really fish well at Acton Lake that day, so I have no confidence or any background history of even how to fish that lake. It's going to be a super sunny day, at least partly cloudy. The sun's going to, it's going to be hot, so it's going to be a big shift in what's happening. What is that going to do? It's going to probably limit a lot of the fishing to the shade areas. You know, it's, fish have a special eye. You know, they don't necessarily need Ray-Bans. They do have a something that's worked up in their eye. I remember seeing this on Bill Dance, that they can, the light doesn't affect them like it does us. So they can stay out in the light for a while, but they prefer to be in that shade a lot. They can see things better in the shade. When you're outside and it's bright and you're looking at the beyond, it's, you can have issues seeing. You step inside the, like the shade of a garage or underneath the shelter, you can really see a lot better out into the beyond now. So fish are very similar, you know, no, not much different. Of course, they're predatory fish. It's a good place for them to ambush. So Acton Lake is not a big lake. I mean, you're going to put 20 or 30 anglers in there. I guess we got 32 signed up so far. You still have plenty of time to do that. And again, you go on TourneyX, you download that on your app. And again, the whole John Graves thing is for those folks that are just getting into it. Download TourneyX on your smartphone device and look up the BKFT Tour Series Cincinnati Lakes and sign up for that and show up. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great time. You're going to meet a couple friends. One or two of them will probably turn out to be lifetime buddies. Others just turn out to be drinking buddies, you know, fishing buddies, but we're all just great friends. And most, if not everybody, would do anything for you in a heartbeat. So 32 anglers we got. Let's go down the line. Who do we got? Big Jim Klein. It's going to be so good to see Jim Klein back out on the water. You know, prayers go out to Jim. He's been going through a lot of physical stuff right now. He had some work done on the old carcass. And I guess that's what us old guys can call this thing. And it's just like a carcass, right? I'm not sure. Mine's squeaking, buddy. I'm telling you what. So it's going to be good to see Jim out there on the water. Chris Hannigan. Sean Skidmore. Sean, I believe, probably one of the best fishermen in the area, no doubt. When Sean shows up, you're like, daggone. And he's so quiet. He's more like, I would compare him to more like Doc Holliday. Sean the Doc Skidmore. Kind of has a little ring to it, doesn't it? DJ Nada, Brad Lehman, Neil Farley, John O'Neill, Reese Stoughton, Tim Crabtree, Jim Meyer, Adrian Warfield, Eric Jones, Melissa, there she is, the powder keg, and Josh Nickel. I hope Melissa's going to be on her Hobie Mirage links. And she usually has a lot of cameras going, so it's a lot of good action from her. And she's always posting what she does on the lakes and stuff like that. So look out for Girl Gone Fishing. You can see that on YouTube. Josh Nickel, Michael Pippin, and the host of, Billy Chambers, Billy Kayaks, right there, TikTok famous, Billy Chambers. Billy's very active in Buckeye Kayak Fishing Trail, and he really does a lot with, help with putting it together. So he's very, big shout out to Billy and kudos to him. Because that's not easy. And to be able to actually kick back and enjoy fishing as well, So that's why you don't see me doing a whole lot of, organizing. Jim Thacker. Chris Houck. Army Intelligence, right there. This guy knows how to fish. Brandon Valentine, Robert Thompson. All these people know how to fish. Gregory Schutman. Kevin Sams. Steve Baker. Nick Rizzo. Ethan Graham, Michael Humble, Clay Erbaugh, John Hammer, Jeff Benedict, Dwight Bartlett, Jonathan Davis. Now, I want to say that Michael Humble, Clay Erbaugh, is that how you pronounce your name? John Hammer, Jeff Benedict, Dwight Bartlett, Jonathan Davis. I don't believe I have met any of these folks. But they don't have any profile picks up on their tournament profile. So hopefully they are some new folks to the crowd. And man, the more the merrier, really, it is. So again, this is Saturday and Sunday. You still have a couple days to sign up for it. It's the Buckeye Kayak Fishing Trail Cincy Lakes Tournament. Now here's the thing. You got Acton and Cowan. Acton is located Oxford, Miami University area. You can either fish that Saturday or Sunday. Both days are going to be high temperatures, partly cloudy, sunny, with a chance of rain falling into Sunday. So if you fish Acton Lake, for example, on Saturday, then you have to fish Cowan Lake again on the next day, Sunday. Or vice versa, if you fish Cowan on Saturday, then obviously you fish Acton on Sunday. So choose and choose wisely. I think I've already made my choice. A lot of the crowd is going to be camping up at Cowan Lake. I don't know. I have no idea what anybody else as I sit here, ask myself what they will be doing. I don't know, but I think I know what I'm going to be doing. I think that I'm going to be fishing Acton Lake on Saturday and then Cowan on Sunday. Why? I don't know. I think I do know where I'm going to go. It's going to be a bright, sunny, hot day. That temperature, that water's going to heat up pretty fast, I think, throughout the day. It is going to be very high wind. And man, it doesn't matter which lake you are on. By 11 o'clock, it is getting windy. And if they are already calling for 13, 15, 16, up to 20 mile an hour gust, you better bring your anchor. It's going to be windy. Oh boy, I hope you got your spot lock. And that's a big advantage. Think about that. I know a few of these folks do have that on their kayak. So that is when this becomes an advantage right there. But still, bring your sit in, load the paddle up. Don't forget that. You got to wear your personal flotation device in the pictures. You also have to have a legal measuring device. You might as well just go and buy a catch board. If you later figure out that kayak fishing is not for you, then you can easily sell it online for just about what you paid for it. And because you have to have that type of board, can't use any type of measuring tape or anything. You'll read the rules once you download all the information and stuff like that. But once you find the rules at first might sound complicated about where you hold the fish, take a picture, whether you hold it or not. I try to get the fish just to relax, chill, man, on the measuring board, get that picture without my hands in there. As a general rule of thumb, if you do have to take a picture with your hand holding the fish down, do it right in the middle. Don't cover up the gill. Make sure that mouth is closed to the left, up against that bump board on the catch board, measuring board, or whatever legal board you use in whatever tournament. They all do have different boards that you can use. Make sure you look that up. And then make sure that tail's just laying down. Get as much length as you possibly can. You can even pinch that tail a little bit. Can't hold your hand there, though. Put that hand up there in the middle of the fish there and just boom. Don't squash it. Just hold it. Like, hold on gently, like that 38 special song. Hold on gently and you'll do good. Take a bunch of pictures. Don't trust just one, right? And don't release the fish to the water. Put it in the water, like in your net, while you're checking your pictures. But make sure your pictures are good before you let that fish go. I've made that mistake before and it's horrible. It just takes one fish to win big bass. And you know, 5-16-inch fish will win you a lot of money around here in the area of southwestern Ohio. Folks, I hope to see you there out on the lake this Saturday and Sunday, wherever you're going to be. Tight lines, best of luck. And it's going to be hot, so hydrate yourself. Thanks for listening to John Graves Kayak Fishing here on Anchor FM.